welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. Mark Levin here with you for this hour of radio sitcoms. Later on, it's Life with Luigi, but right now, a classic episode of The Great Gildersleeve. Starring Harold Perry, this NBC broadcast first heard on June 4th, 1944.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. Now let's see how things are going with The Great Gildersleeve and his campaign for mayor. He's really hit his stride this week. He's made personal appearances at smokers, rallies, bridge luncheons, on street corners, and even at a fire that broke out in Frank Crutch's ice house. And for every occasion, he's had a ready song. Today, we find him with his niece and nephew on the honor box at the ballpark, leading a little singing before tossing out the first ball.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. So it's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For if one, two, three strikes, you're out at the all-ball game.
Thank you, thank you. I'd just like to say, ladies and gentlemen, that nothing is closer to my heart than the great American game of baseball. Yes, sir, I'd like nothing better than to be right out there on that field with you boys today, knocking that old horse hider out. Why, I grew up in sandlot baseball.
What position did you play, Commissioner?
Well, they always made me catcher, friend. Maybe because Mother Nature gave me my own chest protector.
That ain't all she gave you.
Well, seriously, folks, baseball is a great institution. I haven't much use for any man who isn't a baseball fan. In fact, I wouldn't even trust a man who doesn't like baseball. By the way, where is my opponent, Mayor Terwilliger? I don't seem to see him here today.
That's Telnemont.
I don't mean to imply that His Honor doesn't know how to play baseball. He'll play ball with anybody, ladies and gentlemen. He's proved that. And he's stolen plenty of bases when the taxpayers weren't looking, either. However...
Oh, let's get on with the game.
Yes, you're right, my friend. Let's have the ball, Leroy.
Here, let's see how far you can heave it.
Don't you worry about that, my boy. Ready out there?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, brother, what a windup.
Play ball!
Oh. Hey, look out!
Hey, look, Duck Lady, Duck! Hey,
he almost hit a woman.
Sorry, madam. A little out of training, I'm afraid. Toss it out in the field, somebody.
You must have been some pitcher, Unc.
I told you, Leroy, I was a catcher.
How did you ever throw the second?
I always put him out at first. Now shut up and let's watch the game. What's this envelope, Leroy?
Oh, that?
Yes, that. It's addressed to me.
Yeah, that's a note. From Miss Goodwin. I forgot to give it to you.
When did she give you this, young man?
I guess it must have been yesterday.
Huh?
Maybe it was the day before.
Oh, my goodness.
It's all right, Unc. I found it.
It's not all right, Leroy. When you're asked to deliver a note, you should deliver it.
But I found the 15 cents in the other pocket. Now can I buy a hot dog, can I?
I don't care what you do.
Oh, boy, was I, Marge? Careful!
Well, pulling your big feet.
Yes.
What does the note say, Uncle Mark?
I don't know. I'm just reading it, Marjorie. Marjorie?
I wasn't reading it.
Gosh, if this note is 2 days old, I don't know what she must be thinking. I better get over there right now.
Oh, look, they're going to start the game. Who gets the bat first, Uncle Mark? Uncle Mark? Uncle Mark! Where did he go?
Dear Throckmorton, it seems as if I'd hardly seen you for weeks. I know you've been busy with your campaign, and I'm very proud of you. I've been busy, too, working late every afternoon. But couldn't we play a little hooky together just once? She misses me. Besides, I have some good news for you. So do let's try to get together real soon. Your loving Eve. Well, I'm not the man to keep her waiting.
Come in.
My name is Throckmorton. I was told to come to the principal's office.
Oh, Throckmorton, you silly.
Miss Benson sent me down here because I was a bad boy. I'm the worst boy in 6A.
Oh, really? But what did you do that was naughty?
I kissed every girl in the room except Miss Benson.
Oh, well, that's terrible. Stand in the corner and recite the multiplication table 100 times.
Oh, Eve, we can think of something that's more fun than that, can't we? Are you through with your work?
Well, not quite.
Now, be fair, Eve. As soon as Leroy gave me your note, I dropped my work.
What were you doing?
Watching a ball game. Come on, Eve. It's a beautiful day. Let me take you home. I'll carry your books.
Well...
Come on. I'll even buy you soda. I'll hold your hand under the counter. I'll...
That's enough. Throckmorton, what are you doing?
Oh, nothing.
Well, you're walking so peculiarly, I can't keep in step with you.
Oh. I'm trying to step on all the cracks.
Oh, my goodness, a grown man.
Well, Eve, don't you ever do things like that?
Never.
You miss a lot of fun. Sometimes I step on all the cracks, and sometimes I try not to step on any. It's fun to walk with your eyes shut, too. You want to see me?
No.
I'll show you what's even more fun than that, if I can find a stick.
Throckmorton, I don't know what's come over you.
Yeah, here's a stick that's made to order, Eve.
All right, what are you going to do with it?
Well, I could spank you, but I won't.
You better not.
Yeah, wait till we come to Mr. Lawler's picket fence.
Well, of all the ways to entertain a girl.
What can I do? I can't kiss you here in the street. Or can I?
No.
Well, all right then, listen to this.
Let me try it.
Sure, go ahead.
I must say it's more fun than I thought.
What did I tell you?
Wish there was more fence.
Huh? There'll be some more a little farther along, Eve. Let's hold hands and skip. What do you say?
Throckmorton, I'm the principal of the Summerfield Grammar School.
That's nothing. I'm the water commissioner. Come on.
Oh, Throckmorton, you're impossible today.
What do I care?
Throckmorton, I don't understand you.
What do you mean, Eve?
You're not human. I told you in my note that I had some news for you, and you haven't even asked what it is.
I forgot all about it. What is it?
Well, I don't think I'll tell you now.
That's no fair, Eve. Now you got me all curious. Come on, what is it?
No, I don't feel like telling.
Please, Eve.
No.
Will you tell me if I buy you a soda? Here's the drugstore.
I might.
Come on, then.
But I might not. Oh, look, Mr. Peavy's got a new sign in the window. Fresh strawberry sundaes guaranteed to please.
Well, talented, Eve. Will a strawberry sundae make you talk?
If it's good, it will.
It'll be good, and I hope it makes you talk better than that. After you, my love.
Well, good afternoon, Miss Goodwin.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Peavy. We want two of your fresh strawberry sundaes. And if you don't like them, we want our money back.
I think you'll find them very enjoyable. I had quite a run on them today.
Oh? Here, sit down here, Eve. We'll watch the great artist at work.
Thank you.
Darn it, Peavy, why don't you put some booths for your soda customers? Can't you afford a booth?
Well, I've got a phone booth.
All right, we'll have our sundaes in there. How about it, Eve?
Isn't he awful, Mr. Peavy?
No, he's only joking, Miss Goodwin. He can't get in the phone booth himself, let alone... Here's your sundaes, folks. You like a few chopped nuts sprinkled on top?
Oh, yes.
It's a nickel extra.
Oh, that's all right, Peavy. I feel like throwing money around today anyway.
Well, glad you dropped in. You don't happen to need any straight little drug items like aspirin?
Yeah, now, don't try to sell me the store, Peavy. I came in here to make this lady talk. This strawberry sundae is supposed to loosen her tongue.
I think maybe it will, too. This is delicious, Mr. Peavy.
Thank you, ma'am. Miss Goodwin keeping a secret from you, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes, he's trying to, Peavy. I ask you, is that a nice thing for a man's fiancée to do?
Well, it's customary. The ladies like having their little secrets. Every so often, Mrs. Peavy gets some little piece of information about one of the neighbors and holds on to it.
Oh? Just deviled you with it, eh, Peavy?
Well, she likes to tease me a little. Just a few days ago, for instance, she had an item on Mr. Wheeler. He lives two doors down from us.
Charlie Wheeler?
Hmm.
Oh, what was it, Peavy?
Well, I can't tell you that, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, you don't have to. Poor old Charlie. I bet it was something about his...
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Throckmorton.
You're right, though, Mr. Gildersleeve. It was that little habit.
Mr. Peavy, why, you men are the worst gossips I ever saw.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I guess everybody likes hearing juicy little things about their neighbors.
Well, I'm certainly not interested. I scarcely know Mr. Wheeler. Of course, the Wheeler children are in school, and they're a bit of a problem. I know Mrs. Wheeler very slightly. Does he beat her?
I'll tell you if you tell me your secret, Eve. Come on, what is it?
Well, mine isn't gossip. Mine is just good news.
Oh, good news, eh? What is it?
My mother's coming to visit me tomorrow.
Huh?
Liz, is that all you have to say? I've told you how much Mother means to me, Throckmorton.
Oh, yes, I think it's fine that she's coming, Eve. Great, I can't wait to meet her.
I was hoping you could drive me over to Moore's Junction and meet her train tomorrow morning.
Oh, certainly, fine. Glad to do it, Eve. How much are the sundaes, Peavy?
50 cents, Mr. Gildersleeve. That includes the nuts.
Nuts? Oh, yes, yes. Well, here you are. All through, Eve?
Yes, thank you.
Gee, that's certainly fine about your mother. So long, Peavy. See you later.
Goodbye, Mr. Peavy.
Goodbye, Mr. Gildersleeve. Goodbye, Miss Goodwin. My, my, she never found out about Charlie Wheeler's little peculiarity. Well, for that piece of news she had, she didn't deserve to.
Anyone passing Gildersleeve's house, it would be apparent that something important is about to happen, because Gildersleeve is out in the driveway preparing to wash his car.
Watch closely now, Bertie. You observe that I take the sponge and immerse it in the water until saturated.
You do what?
I take the sponge and dunk it, Bertie. Now, with the sponge soaking wet, I start at the top of the car, and it's running down my sleeve, Bertie. It's cold.
You ought to roll up your sleeves, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, that's not so easy. I have my good clothes on. But you haven't any sleeves, Bertie.
I tell you, Mr. Gildersleeve, why don't you use the hose instead of the sponge? That would be easier, and you wouldn't get so wet.
Hose? That's a good idea, Bertie. A very good idea.
Good afternoon, Throckmorton.
Leela. Well, hello.
Washing your car, Throckmorton?
Yeah, just washing the car. Oh,
oh, you... gracious.
Look out. Stand back, Leela. You'll get all wet.
Now, don't you point that hose to me, Throckmorton. You hear?
Oh, I wouldn't, Leela.
Because if you did, I'd just never forgive you, understand? Don't you dare to squirt it at me.
Well, maybe I won't. Maybe I will. Look out, Leela. Here I come.
Oh, no, no. Protect me. Yeah.
All right. Turn it off, Bertie. Turn off the hose.
Throckmorton, Gildersleeve, I declare you're the worst mind.
I am.
That ain't getting the car washed, Miss Gildersleeve.
No, it isn't, Bertie, but I'll get around to it.
Tell me, what are you washing your car for? You must be stepping out somewhere, huh?
Not exactly, Leela. Eve's mother is arriving tomorrow.
Oh, your mother-in-law.
No, she didn't. Well, I suppose she will be at that.
Oh, you poor boy. I know just how you feel.
Now, Leela, Eve's mother is not like that. Eve's mother is different.
Mm.
Eve's mother is very close to her. They're more like sisters.
How nice. You've met her then.
No, but Eve's told me all about her.
I see.
Shall I turn on the hose, Miss Gildersleeve?
Just a minute, Bertie.
I've got to go now, Throckmorton, but I'd just like to say one thing.
Yes?
If you ever need someone to sympathize with you, if you ever need someone to turn to, remember, I'm right next door.
But I tell you, I like Eve's mother. Darn it, I like her.
Goodbye, Niall.
Turn on the hose, Bertie.
Okay, Miss Gildersleeve.
Hello, Leela. Leaving?
Yes, I have to, Doug.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Gildy, washing your car.
What do you think I'm doing?
Taking a bath. Watch it, watch it.
Hold it, Bertie. Turn it off a minute.
What's the big occasion, Gildy?
What big occasion?
Washing the car. How come? Neighbors complained.
My mother-in-law is arriving in the morning.
Your mother-in-law?
Well, that is my mother-in-law-to-be.
Deepest sympathy, old man. Deepest sympathy.
She's only coming for a few days, Judge, and she's staying with her daughter. So there.
Uh-huh. Coming to town to look you over, huh?
Well, I suppose so. Only natural for a mother to want to know what kind of a man her daughter is marrying.
What are you going to do when she finds out?
Now listen, you old goat. Turn on the water, Bertie.
No, I didn't mean it, Gildy. Only joking.
Yeah.
Hey!
Yeah. Run along, Judge, or by gosh, hey. I'll let you have it.
Can't you take a joke?
Sure, can't you? Dance, Judge,
no.
Dance.
No! No. What's going on, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Oh, hello, Peavy. What's that you say?
What's going on? You washing your car?
Can't hear you. I'm washing my car. Hey, turn it off, Bertie. Now, what'd you say, Peavy?
I see. You're washing your car.
Yes, Peavy, I'm washing my car.
Planning to take the family out for a little spin, Mr. Gildersleeve?
No, Peavy. I'm planning to go down and meet my future mother-in-law at the train tomorrow morning. I want the car to look nice.
Mother-in-law, huh?
And no remarks, see?
Oh, I wasn't going to make any remarks.
Well, everybody else has.
I have a mother-in-law myself. That is, I did up to the time she passed on.
Well, my mother-in-law isn't like most mother-in-laws, Peavy. My mother-in-law is different.
That's what I used to say. Mother Horsefall, I always called her. She liked to have me call her mother. My wife's name was Horsefall.
I hope so.
And so was her mother's.
Yeah.
Mother Horsefall.
Horsefall.
I've always had a sneaking fondness for the old girl.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say so, Peavy.
Yes, we got along pretty well for the first few months, but after that... Well, such is life. With that thought, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'll leave you. Good day.
Good day, Peavy. The idea.
Mr. Gildersleeve, how about it?
Let it go, Bertie. Why can't they let me alone? Why can't they let me polish my car? Oh, the devil with a car. Let the old lady ride in it the way it is.
Think, Throckmorton, I haven't seen Mother in almost a year.
Oh, that's so?
Well, I'm excited, aren't you?
You bet.
I was hoping you'd find time to wash the car.
Oh, well, I was going to, but some things came up.
How much farther is it to the station?
Another 4 or 5 miles. We got lots of time.
I wouldn't want to be late.
Don't worry. How about a little kiss just to pass the time, Eve?
Oh, now, dear, please be sensible, not while you're driving.
All right.
Why are we stopping?
You said to be sensible. Now, how about a kiss?
Throckmorton, you think of making love at the strangest times.
What's strange about 10 o'clock in the morning?
But we're hurrying to meet a train. Please, Throckmorton, I'd just die if we were late.
We can't possibly.
Please. Please, darling.
Just one kiss?
Just one.
Oh, you're wonderful.
The train is due at 10:27, dear.
How can you be thinking about timetables?
Well, after all, it's my mother. We must go on, Throckmorton.
All right. Well, that's funny.
Is the ignition on?
Oh, sure. I'll choke her a little. She must be flooded. This old bus gets that way once in a while.
She does?
Yeah, but don't worry. I know her like a book. Just left the letter set there for a minute.
I wish we hadn't stopped.
Now, Eve, there's nothing to worry about. 30 seconds and we'll be on our merry way.
Well, you can't blame me for being nervous. Can't you try it now?
Too soon, Eve. I know this car like a book.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, give it a few seconds more. Now, she'll start off like a B-24.
Is the ignition on?
Oh, yes, it's on. Well... Just have to look under the hood, I guess. Check a few things.
Oh, dear, this is awful.
Okay. This won't take a second, my dear.
Are you sure there's gas in the tank?
Oh, yeah, I put in 2 gallons just this morning. The needle isn't even touching the E.
What are you pounding?
Don't worry, I fixed it this way once before. You just leave it to me, my dear. Men understand such things.
That's what men think.
What's that, Eve?
Oh, nothing.
Throckmorton? Oh, for heaven's sake. What's it now, Eve?
Do you realize my mother's been sitting in that station for half an hour?
Yes, and I wish you were sitting there with her.
Oh!
I didn't mean that, Eve. It kind of slipped out. I mean, I'm doing the best I can, Eve.
Haven't you found out what's wrong yet?
Well, no, but if I...
For goodness sake, it seems to me that... What's that wire hanging down there?
Wire? Well, what wire?
This one. It ought to go somewhere. It could go right here.
No, no, Eve. That's part of the radio.
I don't think so. Hook it on here.
Huh?
There. Now why don't you try the starter?
It couldn't be that.
Well, try it, Throckmorton.
Well, all right, Eve. Couldn't possibly be that. No, afraid it's not that. I didn't think so.
Did you have the ignition on, Throckmorton?
Ignition? Oh. Oh, my goodness. Well, what do you know about that? Some people are born lucky.
Not a soul around the station. I just know the train got in hours ago.
It wasn't due till 10:27.
If anything's happened to Mother, I'll never forgive you. Never.
Nothing's happened to your mother, Eve. She'll be around somewhere if she's got any sense.
That's right. Blame the whole thing on Mother.
Eve, I'm not blaming on anybody. I just... Look, could that be her?
Where?
Over there, sitting on the barrel.
Mother. Mother, we're here.
Eve, darling.
Oh, thank goodness.
How long have you waited?
Oh, not long.
Oh, I thought we'd never get here.
Well, I looked around, and when I didn't see you, I just said to myself, I don't... Oh, this, I suppose, it must be.
Yes, this is Throckmorton.
Mr. Gildersleeve, my daughter has written me so much about you.
Well, favorable, I hope.
Oh, yes. Oh, very. Oh, dear, yes. Well, she wrote me only...
Throckmorton.
Oh, her bags.
Oh, yes.
I'm afraid they're terribly heavy.
Can't be too heavy for me. The car is this way. I feel I ought to apologize to you for being so late.
Oh, not at all. It just gave me time to finish my magazine.
Well, you see, something went wrong.
Whole thing was Throckmorton's fault. If he hadn't insisted on stopping, the car would never have stalled. And if he'd used his head and done as I asked him to, we wouldn't have been all day getting started.
But Eve...
I was never so furious with anyone in my life.
Why, Eve Goodwin, I don't think that's a nice way to talk about a nice man like Mr. Gildersleeve. Here he's carrying my bags, and he's driven all the way down here to meet me. I think that's very nice of him indeed.
Oh, but Mother, you don't understand.
I think Mr. Gildersleeve seems like just about the nicest son-in-law anyone ever had.
Yeah. You know, Mrs. Goodwin.
Call me Mother.
You know, Mother, I've been telling people you're not like other mother-in-laws. You're different. And by George, you are. Why, if you were 20 years younger, or if I were 20 years older...
Yes?
But we're not, are we? Gee, maybe we better be getting along. Dear Diary, well, you have to expect these little misunderstandings, I guess. Guess you have to take the bitter with the sweet. That's part of the fun of being in love. Give and take. That's what real love is based on. Gosh, you can't really be in love with a girl if you get all upset over every little thing. Who was it said that forgiveness is the greatest of all virtues? Well, I forgive her. But by George, she's not going to tell me how to run my car. Good night.
Music on this program is directed by Claude Sweet. This is Ken Carpenter speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company, makers of parquet margarine and a complete line of famous quality food products. Kraft invites you to listen again next week for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve.
The Great Gildersleeve on Tuned 2 Yesterday from June 4th, 1944 on NBC. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned 2 Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. We move right on now with Life with Luigi, a program starring J. Carroll Nash from CBS, heard on March 4th, 1952. Alan Reed co-stars.
The
The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum invite you to enjoy Life, Life with Luigi, a comedy show created by Cy Howard, directed by Mack Benoff, and starring that celebrated actor, Mr. J. Carroll Nash, with Alan Reed as Pasquale. Now, Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum brings you Luigi as he writes another letter describing his adventures in America to his Mama Vasco in Italy.
Dear Mamma Mia, remember in the old country how we all thought there was gold in the streets in America? Well, is not true. Mamma mia, I'm here 3 years now, and the only goal I'm seeing is when a Pasquale's put his teeth in a glass. You see, right now in America, they got what's called inflation, which is got to do with a dollar. To explain to you short, mamma mia, inflation means money is a good, but a lamb chops is a better. In America today, if you walk in a market with $1, even a potatoes is a laugh at you. And the milk, mamma mia, about the milk. If I was to bring Uncle Pietro's goat to America, she would get so rich she could give milk only on Mondays and sleep for late the rest of the week. But meanwhile, I'm happy with my antique business, and I make just enough money to keep the wolf away from the door. Oh, I'm talking too quick. Here comes the wolf now.
Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello, hello.
Hello, Pasquale.
Luigi, you're looking fine, beautiful. Fact, I never saw you looking so good.
Pasquale, something is wrong.
Why? Because I say you look so good?
When you grease me up like that, I know you're getting ready to put me in a pan.
No, Luigi, I really mean it. Today you look like a nice, fresh garden. Your cheeks are like two rosy apples. Your mouth is like a red cherry. Your eyes are like two black grapes. Luigi, your face looks such a nice, fresh garden, I feel like dumping a bag of Vigoro over your head.
Oh, Pasquale, stop. You're making me blush. Hey, why are you suddenly so nice to me today, huh?
Because I love you, little banana nose.
And I'm loving you too, Pasquale.
Hey, Luigi, could you take the love you got from me and transfer it to my nearest living relative?
You mean a Russia?
I don't mean ex-Xavier Cugats.
Pasquale, I'm in America over 3 years, and now all I'm a keeper here, and every day is Russia, 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 no more Russia. I'm a starting not to like it.
You're right, Luigi. I'm going to change your name to Sam. Now, look, we all want something out of life, everybody. We all got our price. You tell me, what do you want out of life, and I'm going to listen.
All right, Pasquale. Well, I want the peace and enough for money to eat, to pay my rent, to buy a few little things. In other words, Pasquale, I want everything you get free in this democratic country.
That's fine. Rosa wants the same things. So why don't you two Democrats get married and have a little third party? What do you say, little cabbage puss?
Well, maybe someday, Pasquale, but it's no rush.
Sure, it's no rush, Luigi.
And is there no hard feelings, huh, Pasquale?
No hard feelings, Luigi.
That's good.
Now get ready to move out of the store tomorrow and leave the town for good.
Leave it.
I hate two-faced ungrates, Luigi. Oh. I'm going to once and for all jackal up of your hide.
But, Pasquale, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the biggest catastrophe has ever hit you, Luigi. Pasquale, your landlord, is getting ready to sell this whole building the next week to a furniture dealer by the name of Mr. Murphy.
Pasquale, you're going to sell it the antique shop?
That's right. The Murphy offered me $20,000 for this building, and I just decided to take it.
Yeah, but Pasquale, if this Murphy buys the building, he's going to throw me out. I'm going to have no business, and I'm going to starve to death.
Luigi, you see this ear I'm pointing to?
Yes, sir.
That's my deaf ear. Now, if you want to get a quick action to talk into the right ear, that's the one I keep for listening to future son-in-laws.
Well, Pasquale, I was...
Sorry, my boy, I didn't hear a word you said.
Well, all right. I'm going out to my night school, Pasquale. I'm better say goodbye to all of my friends there. So long, Pasquale.
So long. And a good riddance. I'm going to teach that pupsqueak once and for all. You can lead a horse at the water, but if you don't marry her, you're through with a Pasquale.
I'm back at school. No more sickness. Everything is fine.
Quiet class. I'll call the roll. Mr. Basco?
Here.
Mr. Howard?
Here.
Mr. Olson?
Here.
Mr. Schultz?
Last stop. Everybody off. That's right. Laugh. Everybody smile. Be happy.
Please, Mr. Schultz. Now, class, today I asked you to learn some new spelling words. So let's see how smart you are. Who will volunteer to spell the word insubordination? Well, who will volunteer? Mr. Schultz, if you're volunteering, just raise one hand, not two.
Who's volunteering? I'm giving up.
Oh, come now, class. Won't somebody try? Insubordination. Remember what I once told you. If a word seems too difficult, try breaking it up.
That word you can't break up. You've got to smash it to pieces.
Mr. Schultz, since you insist on talking out of turn, we'll let you spell the word.
All right. W-O-R-T, what?
I meant insubordination.
Well, I try. Insubordination. The I-N-S-U-B-O-R-D-I-N-A-T-I-O-N.
Well, that's very good, Mr. Schultz.
To tell the truth, it was a lucky guess.
Don't be so modest. Now, Mr. Basco. Wake up, Mr. Basco. Spell the word receive, please.
Receive?
Oh, come now. What is the spelling rule involved in that word? Mr. Olson, you tell him.
I would be happy to. In such words, the general rule is I before E, except after C, E. Now, I could give a few dozen exceptions to the rule, Miss Spaulding, or do you think that may confuse them?
Olson, I get for shimmel just the listening to you.
Quiet, please. Mr. Basco, now that you've heard the rule, spell the word receive.
All right.
Emily sounds just like a poopy dog.
Mr. Schultz, Mr. Basco, you're not even trying. The correct spelling is R-E-C-E-I-V-E. Do you know the word now?
Yeah, the word is mercy.
Miss Spaulding, something is wrong with Luigi.
Why, what's the matter, Mr. Basco? A headache?
No, it's a Pasquale. He's going to sell a whole building with the antique shop to some furniture man, Mr. Murphy.
By Jiminy, that Pasquale is just an unmitigated 14-carat yerk.
Basco, why is he doing this? Do you know?
Russia.
I thought so. That Pasquale's got a real single-track mind.
Yeah, and he's going to keep on having that single-track mind till he marries off his caboose.
Mr. Basco, you do have a serious problem. I wish there was some way I could help you.
Ah, my Luigi, you got nothing to worry about. You just go into another business, that's all.
Yeah, but like what, the Schultz?
Well, you could be a butcher. You got a nice fat tongue. Cheer up, Luigi.
Well, there's the dismissal bell. Mr. Basco, would you mind staying after class? Perhaps I can help you with your problem.
All right, and thank you, Miss Spaulding.
Good night, Luigi. And if there's anything I can do, please call on me.
Me too, Luigi. Count on me for anything.
Thanks, Austin Horowitz.
That's good. And any verse comes to verse, Luigi, you could always work with me in my delicatessen. Sure, you could stand and watch my cash register. I don't trust myself lately. Come on, Luigi, smile. Be like me. Always happy. Always laughing.
Ooh, my rheumatism is killing me.
Mr. Basco, you should be heartened at the way your classmates were so eager to help you out.
Well, I'm appreciate it very much, Miss Spaulding, but for me, it's too big a problem. When I'm a loose antique shop, what am I going to do for a living?
Mr. Basco, you're in America now. You can be anything you want to be and do anything you want to do.
Yeah, but where am I going to go to find another business?
Well, I've been thinking, Mr. Basco. I know a man who might be able to find you some other business. His name is Duffy Lane, and he's a business broker.
What am I need him for? My business is already broke.
No, you don't understand. A business broker is a man who can offer you a large variety of businesses, and you can make your selection.
Oh, well, that sounds good, Miss Spalding. Hey, you're giving me big hope.
You must learn to have more confidence in yourself, Mr. Basco. Whenever you feel discouraged, I want you to repeat to yourself these lines from a famous poem. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
I am the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. Mamma mia, I'm feeling better already.
There, you see?
Miss Spalding, I'm going to see this business broker, Mr. Lane. I'm going to find a new business. And if that's no good, I'm going to try, and try again. Hello, Pasquale.
Yes?
Hey, Pasquale, I am the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul.
Well, what do you know? Mr. Shrimp Boats, a 1952. Now, for a fellow who's about to lose his business and be kicked out in the street, you sound pretty happy.
Well, why not, Pasquale? I've got a big confidence in myself, Pasquale. I'm the captain of...
All right, Captain. Stop. You're getting me seasick. Come on, Luigi. Get a sensible. Marry Rosa before it's too late.
Pasquale, I'm the master of my fate, not the fact. Jesse, you want to know more? Here, look at this card.
Well, let me see here.
Right there.
Duffy Lane, business broker, Austin, 46557.
That's right. I'm just had a talk with him, and he's going to find me new business.
You had a talk with him, he's going to find you a new business,
That's
eh?
That's right.
Like what? The selling of popsicles at the Eskimos? Maybe you're going to go in a vegetable business, renting out of your cabbage head to the housewives, eh?
All right. Go ahead, Pasquale. Make a fun. But now I'm no more afraid of you. I'm the master of my faith. I'm the captain of my soul.
Well, watch out or you don't get a shipwreck. I wonder if he's a go on a shipbuilding business. Anyway, I better put a stop to this before my little pigeon flies out of the coop. Let me see that broker's card. Hello? Hello? That's the Duffy Lane, a business broker? Good. I'm a very good friend of a new customer of yours, Luigi Basco. I'm surprised that you promised him you're going to find him a new business. Well, you see, he's had 10 different businesses in the last 3 years, always a fall apart. Why? I'm glad you're asking me that. It's because of his hobby. Eh? What's his hobby? Raising termites.
Now let's turn to page 2 of Luigi Basco's letter to his mother in Italy.
Well, Mamma mia, I'm kind of like the good news because something bad has happened. I don't know why, but when I went to see my business broker, he's a push me out, to lock the door, and a spray me with the DDT. Then he chased me away. He says he doesn't want to see me, but worst part of all, Mr. Murphy, the furniture man, is coming to buy this building tonight, and I'm going to be thrown out of here, too. Everything is a look black till Schultz is walking.
Luigi, my fellow pooper. Ach, look at that long puss.
Schultz, Pasquale, he's chasing me out tonight.
So much, my Luigi. Remember what they say in the clothing business. Behind every gray suit, there's a silver lining.
Yeah, but... But Schultz, when you know how bad I'm feel about the losing the antique business, well, is it just impossible to smile?
Ah, poppycock! Luigi, sometimes we got to smile to keep from crying.
Yeah, but Schultz, what am I going to do? I'm all mixed up.
Well, Luigi, the way I see it, you got two choices. One, you could borrow money for a while.
No. I'm never going to borrow money. And nothing is ever going to make me borrow money. What's the number two choice?
Mary Rosa.
Schultz, You know where I'm going to buy $100?
Wait, Luigi. There is a third choice. You could find yourself a job.
Job?
Sure. You know, that thing people do in their spare time between 9 and 5 just to keep alive. Wait, Luigi. Into my head an idea just pooped.
Well, what?
One of my best customers, Mrs. Charlie Carr, is the wife of the personnel manager of the Aetna Steel plant. I'm going to talk to Mrs. Carr right away, and in 1 hour, you've got the job.
Yeah, but sure, so how you know Mrs. Carr is going to try?
Listen, a woman's got to be nice to 2 men in her life, her husband and her butcher. If Mrs. Carr dares to refuse me, the next time she orders Wiener schnitzels, she gets less Wiener and more schnitzel.
Mommy, what a big factory. Aetna Steel Plant. Oh, Americans are they very smart. Who else could have figured out how to get a bigger things like a steel from a little things like a plant? Well, it's no surprise. Any country that can figure out how to push the salmon in a can without opening it up can do anything. Mommy, I'm getting nervous. I wish you could be with me, Mamma Mia, like when you took me to school for the first time. Remember, Mama? Well, be brave, Luigi. You're the master of your faith, the captain of your soul.
Well, Mr. Basco, I'm sure we can find a place for you in our plant.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Personnel Manager. Here's a little present I'm brought to you from Mr. Schulze.
Well, thank you. Must be about 20 Frankfurters in this bag.
No, it's 18 because I'm had lunch.
Huh? Oh, I'll just put them in my desk, one of the cold drawers. Now then, let me fill out a card for you. Your name?
Luigi Basco.
Address?
21 and Otto Hollister Street.
Zone?
Safety. Yeah, sure, right outside of my store is the safety zone.
Oh. Well, we can fill the rest in later. Now, sure. Mr. Basco, Aetna Steel would like to fit you into the job you're best suited for. Now, what have you had the most experience in?
Most experience I've had in antiques.
Mr. Basco, when you're not around antiques, what do you do?
I'm like to sit and read.
Good. And what do you read about?
Antiques.
Mr. Basco, the type of work we offer is arc welding, spot welding, high-pressure metal plating, operating a drill press, and handling a Bessemer-type foundry. Ever do any work with your hands?
Oh, sure.
What?
In Italy, I'm a milk of the cow.
Is that all you did?
Oh, no. I'm also milk of the goat. Oh, Mr. Personella, is nice in Italy. I milk the cow, I milk the goat, I'm feed the pigs and take care of the little chickens. You know, I've got one favorite chicken. Her name is Josephine. And you're not going to believe this, but she's used to lay 10 eggs in one day.
10 eggs?
Yeah, I used to sing her little song. La 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 la. And every time she's a hear me sing, she's a drop everything.
Oh, it's very touching, Mr. Basco. But frankly, I'm wondering where we can find a spot for you.
Oh, well, for sure, in a bigger place like this, must have at least one cow.
We have a Coke machine. We have a Coke machine.
Mommy, how you squeeze the cow in that?
Well, Mr. Basco, fortunately, we have a lot of war contract work and we do need help. I'll give you a note to one of our foremen. He'll put you somewhere.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Cannon. Thank you so much. I'm going to plant so much steel, you're going to be very proud of me.
Out, Basco. Gotta be careful around those swinging cranes.
Mama, there's a plenty hot in here, huh, Mr. Foreman?
Well, what'd you expect? That Bessemer furnace over there throws 3 tons of white-hot coal into that burning cauldron, out of which pours thousands of tons of molten steel, and this is pressured to 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Think you can handle it, Basco?
Please, where do you keep the cow?
What? Look, do you think you can handle that Bessemer furnace?
Well, I don't know. You think I can?
It's easy. Just don't get too close or it's curtains for you.
Lisa, maybe you put me in the curtain department now.
Come here, Basco. I want to show you the next step. That red-hot steel you see over there is cooled down from 5,000 degrees to 40 below zero by the super-cooling action of 500 icy drafts blowing jets of freezing air up and down.
Mama, me, that reminds me.
What?
I forgot to defrost my ice box.
And now over here is the end product of the whole operation. We call it pig iron.
Pig iron? I'm going to know that cows give milk, but it's the first time I found out that the pigs give iron.
Basco, you might have to handle some of these machines pretty soon, so listen to what I tell you.
Yes, sir.
Now, this here is a 4-ton jig press.
Uh-huh.
These here are turret lathe.
Uh-huh.
Those are nut and bolt forges, and that over there is a combination Clyde binder and Latina pusher.
Uh-huh.
Think you can learn to handle them?
You sure there's no cow in the factory?
No. Now, come on with me. I'll turn you over to the superintendent.
Superintendent? Mamma mia, I'm going down. He's turning me over to the janitor.
Come on now, let's get on the ball. Hey, Basco, move. We got to get started.
Yeah, sure. What am I do first?
Punch that time clock.
Huh?
You hear me? Punch the time clock.
But it's not hitting me.
I'll punch it for you.
All right.
Now stand over here. You're going to operate this drill press. Ever handle a press before?
No, I'm never working in a tailor shop.
Oh, what kind of men are they sending down these days? Look, this drill press punches 300 holes every hour, you see? You just slip this metal sheet in the press like this. Go ahead, do
it. I had to push them in. Sure, all right.
Okay, now tighten the bolt.
Yeah.
Come on, stupid. Now step on this button and hold tight. All right, Basco. Get up off that floor.
All right.
Now step on it. Get to work. All right, men, don't stand around and watch. Let's go.
Mamma mia, somebody has escaped.
That's a lunch whistle, Basco. Okay, boys, take 30. Hey, Basco, what are you doing so close to that blast furnace?
What?
What are you doing so close to that blast furnace?
Oh, I'm just the one to toast a little bit of bread.
Get away from there. Okay, boys, get back on the job. Let's go.
Please, I'm not able to make a little sandwich. Mamma mia, I'm not going to do this. I'm all mixed up.
Look out, Basco. Watch out for that swinging crane. Run for it.
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to run for it, and I'm not going to stop until I'm going to be home. Hello, Pasquale.
Ah? Is that you, Luigi? Face all scratched up, overalls all torn and black, a hair standing on edge? What'd you do, stick your head in an electric fan?
Pasquale, it's a long story. I'm had a job of making iron to pigs.
What?
First, I'm almost cooked by hot the furnace, then I'm pushed into the freezer, almost the freezer to death. The noises are hitting me on the head all the time, like a thousand hammers. I'm almost falling in the drill press and I get killed 4 times. Now I know why it's called the graveyard shift.
So the little popsqueak is a try to be a working man, eh? Tell me, my big wage earner, how much money you make it today, eh?
I don't know. First, that they got a social security, state of tax, income tax, unemployment insurance, accident insurance, a union of those. I think I owe them 10 cents.
Boob, I'm looking at with a big, stupid, green-haired boob.
Masquale, be careful of what you call me. I'm protected by General Lewis.
You're talking very brave for a little man who's just about to be kicked out on the street.
Masquale?
Yes, Luigi?
I'm going to marry Russia. I'm going to give up.
Luigi. You said it. You said the words I want to hear. Now you can be a good captain. You marry my ship. Oh, wait, wait, Luigi. I'm going to call in the blushing bride. Rosa! Rosa! Rosa!
You called me, Papa!
Yes, my little ride, Chris. Rosa, say hello to Luigi.
Hello, Rush.
Well, Luigi, now you decide to be my son-in-law, you got nothing to worry about. I'm going to make a lot of money selling this house, and you're going to live off for the profits.
I'm looking for... Oh, there you are, Mr. Pasquale.
Oh, hello, Mr. Murphy. You coming to close the deal for the furniture store, eh?
No, the deal is off, Mr. Pasquale.
Off? Why? What's happened?
I saw my business broker, Mr. Lane, today, and he told me someone gave him a tip over the telephone that this building is unsafe.
Unsafe?
That's right. It's got termites. I'm sorry, Mr.
Hey, wait, Mr. Murphy. I'm the one who called up. I'm a big liar. Mr.
Murphy.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes, sir. What?
Hey, so you told my broker I'm going to get a termite, sir.
Luigi, you heard what I told him, Murphy. I'm a big liar. Don't believe me. Luigi, where you going? You promised to marry Rosa.
Don't believe me, Pasquale. I'm a big liar, too.
Life with Luigi, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 4th, 1952 on CBS, featuring J. Carroll Nash and the man who would portray Fred Flintstone in the cartoons, Alan Reed as Pasquale. And that wraps this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for listening.